good to be here. I'm glad to be in 2021. I was hoping 2020 would stay behind us. I'm not sure how far behind us it is. But anyway, I'm glad to be in 2021. I'm glad I have this opportunity to share. And some of the thoughts that were in my mind about coming out of this is loss. How many know someone that's lost something in 2020? Anybody? I mean, when I think about it, we're just suing myself and things that we know of people that have lost jobs and people that have lost finances and people that have lost their health. We know people that have died, friends of ours, from the COVID. So when we look at 2020, we can say, look at all the loss. And I want to deal with that today because sometimes in the church we want to go to, we want them to always be so positive that there's nothing ever negative that happens. And the problem with that is when we go home, we got some negative mess to deal with and it doesn't compute to the gospel. And it's the same way with God. I understand that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I get that. But here's what I also know. God was there when the devil was killing, stealing, and destroying. So you don't amen that one, because if you do, then you're getting God in the mix, that He knows what you lost. Let me help you right now. God knows exactly what was lost. He knows what you have, He knows what you've lost, and He knows what you've got left. And if I could preach something to you today, it would just be don't quit. It would just be make up your mind that God's not done with you. Let me ask you one question. How many in here are at least 70 years old? You're 70 or older. Stand up. Or just raise your hand, Doobie, and you're... Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, y'all can be seated. I can safely say right now I'm in the top 6 of the oldest people in here. When I go to the gym, I'm the oldest male there. I don't know that the women know how they are. They're, some of them, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say they look old at that. I don't know. But the point is I know I'm the oldest person. And when I get to thinking about being old, and I think about my life and what I've got left, and you I don't know about you guys, but when you look behind, you got more time behind you than you do in front of you. You get to thinking a little bit. So when I look in front of me, I'm thinking, well, what have I got left? So then I was processing this message, and I was processing it into my own life, and I'm thinking I'm 70 years old. And so I started at the top of my head and worked from my feet, and I said, I've got macular degeneration in my right eye. I've had 2 discs removed and 3 vertebrae fused in my neck, C3, 4, and 5. I've had the right biceps torn in my arm, and it's still ripped. And it causes a chronic problem with my tendon in my elbow. And then I just kept, you know, it was getting bad already, and I just kept kind of working through this. And both my knees have torn meniscus, so I've had 2 scopings on them to clean out the mess there. When I was about 5 years old or 6, I cut the anterior tibialis, which is the muscle in the front of your leg, so it cut that in 2, and some farm doctor sewed it back up, probably a vet, no offense, but probably a vet, if there's a vet in here, sewed that up, and so it's really kind of goofy when we do walking on our heels at the gym. I can get this one up, and I can't get that one up because it's torn, and I got to look, and I thought, I ain't got much left. I mean, I ain't got much time left, and I don't have much body left here. And this is what the Lord began to speak to me about. And that is, but what you've got left, what you've got left. If you just let me use that, if you won't give up on what's left, then I can create something better than you've ever had before. And when I look back, I've had a lot of good, but y'all, I believe that I've got better coming, that God can do something than what's left. But you've got to get some guts about you. Do you remember when the 3 Hebrew children were getting ready to go in the fiery furnace? And they spoke to the king, and they told him, they said, even if, do you remember that? Even if you have the power to put us in here, even if we go to the furnace, even if we're killed, our God is able to deliver us. Now, here's their point. We may have some bad stuff here, but we've got this God. And even if you can, we're going to serve Him anyway. They said, we're going to serve Him. How many remember when Lazarus died and Jesus was talking to Martha, Lazarus' sister, in John 11, and He was talking to her and she was telling Him, Lazarus is dead, y'all, and you weren't here to help him, and now it's too late and he's stinking and he's in the grave. But then she stopped in the middle of her sad song and said, but even now, even now. The 3 Hebrew children said, even if we go through the trial, And she said, even now, everything's dead and gone, but even now, and we need to get some of that in us today before we leave this room, that we make up our mind, regardless of the trial or the problem, even if I'm going through it, I'm not going to give up. Even now, it looks dead and lost. I'm not quitting because He is able even now. And so you begin to process that and put it together for the year 2021, and we start finding that God can use what is left. He's the God of what's left. So let's look in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, and the Word of God says this, and He called out in a loud voice, cut down the tree. Let me stop right here and just say this. Just leave it up. But let me just say this. This is in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel is interpreting the dream. And this is the interpretation. Now, I'm going to just say this to you. Who's cutting down the tree? It said someone from heaven came to cut down the tree. Somebody's going to let y'all know that heaven is interested in your wins and losses. But let me say this to you. The favor of God is not based on wins and losses. You could be in the middle of a loss right now and be the favorite of God. You can be in the middle of a loss right now and be the favorite of God. How many of you know that John, the Apostle John, was one of God's favorites? The Bible said when Jesus met with any of them, He met with Peter and who? James and John. We know that John wrote three letters. We know that he wrote the Gospel of John. We know he wrote the book of Revelation. And we think, dude, he had it all together. He was the youngest one when they were chosen. He was a teenager when they were chosen. He lived to be over 80 years old, the oldest living apostle. And you're going to say, boy, what a blessed life. You know, I began to read a little bit about him and historically about him. Do you realize Domitian, who was the Caesar of the time, Domitian had him poisoned, and the poison didn't kill him. So Domitian got mad, and he said, boil him in oil. Now, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but about the time they heated that oil up, I would be in trouble. I mean, I'm just processing thought right now. Where's God now? Where's God now? They just poisoned me and I live, but where's God now? I'm going to the oil. And he was put in oil. You can historically find this on him. He was boiled in oil and didn't die. Domitian got so angry that he said, I'm going to isolate him and put him on the Isle of Patmos, and he'll rot on the Isle of Patmos. And he's sent to the Isle of Patmos. And just get this thought right now. You've been poisoned and lived. You've been boiled in oil and lived. Now you're put on an isolated island called Patmos, and he's living there, and God shows up. And he writes the book of Revelation. Now, excuse me just a minute, but that guy had a bad day. He had a bad 2020. He was poisoned, he was boiled in oil, he was put on an island, but he made up his mind. I've lost a lot, but God is still in charge, and what I've got left has value to it. So watch this. Here's Daniel giving the interpretation. He said the interpretation is cut down the tree, trim off the branches, strip off its leaves, scatter its fruits, let the animals flee from under it, and the birds from its branches. But let the stump. You going with me, Emma? But let the stump. Say, let the stump live. Okay, just bear with me and watch this. He said, we're going to cut the tree down. Now, the tree is a type of Nebuchadnezzar. And it said it was full of birds and had animals that came to it. In other words, it was showing the prosperity of Nebuchadnezzar. He was prosperous. He had everything he needed. And God said, his pride has cost him, and we're cutting his tree down. But look at the God you serve. Here's what it says. But let the stump and its roots, let them live. Let them be bound with iron and bronze. Remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let them be drenched with dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. And here's what God said. We're going to cut the tree down, but we're going to leave the stump. Now, you don't care much about that, but God does. Because He knows if I've got a stump, I can bring something back to life. If I've got a stump, I can bring it back. So let me just give you an axiom right in here of truth, if you don't mind. Here's your first axiom of truth. And that's this. God is a God of what you have. God is a God of what you've lost. And God is a God of what you've got left. We're going to leave that up, but I want to say it again. God is a God of what you have. But God is a God of what you lost. And this is the thing I want you to pay attention to. God didn't leave just because you lost something. When someone died, when your marriage failed, when your health left, when your finances fell through, when you lost your job, God didn't leave you, and He's much involved in everything that's going on. And we've kind of made it like God has walked away and given the devil charge over my stuff. And God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So here's what I'm telling you. You may have lost everything, but it doesn't mean God is not with you, and it doesn't mean that God cannot use what's left. So we've got this. He's a God of what I have. He's a God of what I've lost. He knows what I lost. He knows the pain and the hurt of it, and He's still God. But He is the God of what I've got left. Whatever it is that I've got left, God is able to use to bring to pass what needs to happen in my life. So how many of y'all have just a little bit of hope left? Anybody? A little bit of faith? I mean, even the Bible says you move a mountain with a mustard seed size faith. It doesn't take a lot, but I've got to make up my mind. I may have lost everything, but I've got a little bit of hope. I may have lost everything, but I've got a little bit of faith. I may have lost everything, but I've got a few promises. If you came or participated online with the communion service that we had, Pastor Gabriel blessed us out of Deuteronomy 28. And if you read the first 15 verses, it's all about the blessings of God that will come on us. You are a blessed person, and you do have the promises of God, and they didn't leave because you had a sickness or a bad day or a loss of a job. Does that make sense to you? What you've got to make up your mind is that even though I've lost, and maybe I'm not believing like I need to believe, and maybe I don't have the passion that I need to have, but I'm making up my mind today, today's not that day. Today's not the day I quit. Today's not the day I give up on my passion. Today is not the day that I'm going to let go of believing God. Say, today's not that day. Okay, that's three of you. Great. I want everybody here to say, today is not that day. Today is not that day. You've got to make up your mind about this. But Pastor Mike, I've lost. That's what we're talking about, what you lost. We get that. But what do you have left? Is there anything that you've got left? Now, in the Word of God, it also says, well, let me give you one more axiom. Axiom number two. Here's your second axiom. God will use what you've got left. God will use what you've got left to fulfill His purpose. I think we have it. We're going toward it. We're moving, axiom two. Yes. God will use what you have left to fulfill His purpose in your life. Say, God will use what I have left to fulfill His purpose. Let's say it another way. Say, the purpose of God was not lost because I lost something. God can fulfill His purpose in your life regardless of what you lost. How many of y'all know that when Noah was taken up with eight people left and the rest of what we understand, the rest of all life was gone, all of the people are gone, all civilization is gone, and eight people left. Can I tell you something? He understood that God still has a purpose, and His miracle was in the eight that was left, not in the thousands that were lost. Noah saw that the eight left had the miracle. So here's what I'm telling you. There is a miracle in what is left for God to fulfill His purpose. So let me back up and say it another way, because some people say this. Well, I lost that person in my life, and I lost my marriage, and I lost my finances, and I lost my job, and I'm bankrupt, so I've got all of this loss. Now God cannot fulfill the purpose that He had in my life. Let me back up and say it another way to you so you'll get it. There's nothing you've lost that will stop God from fulfilling His purpose in your life. Because if what you lost would have stopped you from fulfilling the purpose, you wouldn't have lost it. Oh, you don't want amen right now. See, because you want to be able to say, well, God can't fulfill His purpose because look what I lost. And God is saying, hey, I knew you lost it, and my purpose will be fulfilled in your life regardless of your loss. Does this make sense to you? Listen, y'all, that's an axiom. That's a truth. It's not going to change. God will use what's left to fulfill His purpose in your life. Let me give you a scripture about that, if you don't mind. In Job 14, 7 through 9, here's another place where it speaks a little bit about stumps that are left. Listen to this one. At least there's hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it'll sprout again. Amen. You don't know how bad it was. Just read your Bible. At least there's hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it'll sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old, but its stump die in the soil. There's a little bit more. Yet at the scent of water, I love this, because the Word of God is a type of the water, the washing of the Word of God. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If the tree's cut down and all that's left is a stump, all it needs to do is smell the water. It just gets the smell of the water and it starts sprouting again. So the purpose comes back. So I'm giving you a prophetic word this morning that God will fulfill His purpose in your life regardless of what you've lost. His purpose will not change in your life because of your loss. If the loss was going to change His purpose, then you wouldn't have lost it. He understands and He's the God of what's lost. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not telling you God took it away from you. I'm saying the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's what I'm telling you. God knows what you lost, and He was there when you lost it. And the devil can't do everything he thinks he can do to you all the time. So let's look at one more axiom, if you do. The third axiom. What was lost is painful, but what you have is powerful. What you have left is powerful. What you've lost was painful, but what you have left is powerful. I want us to look at a couple places because Job dealt with this thing of loss and God being involved in his loss and his pain. But one of the things I know about God is that there's a limit to what the devil can do to you. Look in Job 1:10. The Word of God says this, and this is the Lord speaking. He's having a conversation with the devil, and the devil is getting ready to attack Job. And listen to what the devil says. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? This is the devil speaking. So let me tell y'all something. I want your answer to be, say yes. Because the devil's going to get up in your face with this one. He's going to say, look, God's put a hedge around you. You need to say, you're mighty right He did. Of course He did. Say, there's a hedge around me. Folks, listen, God knows where you are. And the devil came and he said, you put a hedge around him. And God said, I do have a hedge around him. And he said, you've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds spread out through the land. So the Lord said to Satan, very well, then he's in your hands. But I love how God does this. He lifts one hedge, but establishes another. God, back up with me. God didn't take anything from him. God didn't kill his kids, didn't take his cows or his camels. All God did was dealt with the hedges. He dealt with the hedges. And he pulled up one hedge, and the devil stepped in. He said, you can do this, but the Lord said, very well, you can do this. He's in your hand, but you will spare his life. In other words, you can't take his life from him. So every time he went to him, he did something else. In verse 10, he said, you can touch his stuff, but you can't touch him. In chapter 2, verse 6, he says, now you can touch him, but you can't take his breath. In other words, I'll pick up the other hedge, but I'll put down another one. The devil has a limit of what he can do to you. He's limited, y'all. There's a hedge that God always has for his kids. And here's the thing I love about Job. He didn't even let heaven corrupt his faith toward heaven. Okay, see, you didn't get that one. How many of you know that some people can lose faith if they think heaven is against them? Oh, yeah. If you think God's letting this happen, then you could lose your faith. I'm not going to serve a God like that. Haven't you heard that before? Who's going to serve a God that lets this happen? Who's going to serve a God? Well, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I sure like what he said. Look in Job 13:15. This is Job's reply when he had to deal with his issue. He said, though he slay me, yet I'll what? Yet I'll hope in him. Though he slay me, yet I'll hope in him. I'll surely defend my ways to his face. Though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. Let me say it, Beckham said another way. I'm not going to let heaven corrupt my faith and hope in heaven. Though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. I'm going to tell you, it'd be nice for a church to be able to leave a church house one day and say, if God slayed me, I'd still serve him. Didn't say God was going to slay you. He just said, I'm not even going to let heaven take my faith away. I'm not going to let that take my faith away. Though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. See, there are people right now, you came into church and you got born again on the hope that God loved you so much nothing bad would ever happen. Even when Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. I mean, Jesus said that. In this world, you will have tribulation. And when we have tribulation, we think God's gone, and He told us we were going to have it. Here's what I have to believe. I've got a hedge around me, and there's a limit to what the devil can do. And you can say, but all those busted up things in your body, I got that, and I understand that, but I still love God. Though He slay me, yet I will serve Him. I've made up my mind about that, and I'm going to use what I have left. I'm going to make it available to Him. So this was Job's whole thought. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Here's another one. I want to give it. So what was lost was painful, but what is left is powerful. You're going to say, well, how did that become powerful? And I would just say this. I don't have the verse pulled up, but you don't need it. But in Job 42:10, it says this. At the end of Job's life, he got back double everything he lost. He got back double everything he lost. So I'm just going to say this to you. What was painful was what was lost, but what's powerful is what I've got left. And what he had left was, I am going to serve God. I'm not going to curse God. Though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. Whatever I have left, he's going to do something with, and what's left is powerful. Let me give you another thought on what's left is powerful. Well, it's in Judges 7:7. How remember Gideon in Judges 7:7? The word of God spoke to him, and you remember he had 32,000 men, and he was going to go against 350,000. And God said, I'd let you do that, but I'm going to look bad if I let you do that. So we're cutting out 22,000. Just say any of them that are afraid can go home. And 22,000 left. He's left with 10,000. And God said, that's still too many. I mean, I wish that he let him go 32,000. If it was me, I'd want 32. I mean, I'd say, go get us some more. But then God said, that's still too many at 10,000. So he takes away 9,700, leaves him with 300 men. And I'm just going to say this. God is able to give strength and show victory in what's left. He used the 300 to defeat the enemy. So it's what's left. I can't look at what I've lost. I can't look and say, God, how crazy is this? I've lost 32,000, or I've lost 10,000. I've lost 9,000. I'm down to 300. It's what I've got left that God can give me victory with. There's another one that had a loss too. How many remember Samson? Man, he lost his prestige, he lost his power, he lost his strength, he lost his money, he lost his pride, he lost everything. He lost everything. And he was a servant, and the Bible says the hair began to grow on his head again, and when it did, he said, God, if you'll just touch me one more time. Here's all I'm going to say. He decided to use what was left. What's left is powerful for a victory. God can win a victory with what's left. It was painful in the loss, but what's left is powerful. Does that make sense to you? And how many of you know it started in his head? So I'm going to tell y'all something. Getting a hold of what's left is going to be your victory. It's going to start in your head. You got to make up your mind about God. You got to make up your mind about victory. You got to make up your mind about loss. And understand that what was lost was painful, but what's left is powerful. God is a God of what I have, He's a God of what I lost, and He's a God of what I've got left. And y'all, He can do something with what you've got left. Let me give you one more. Number four, this is the fourth. Well, let me give you one more thought on this. Let me give you one more thought on the powerfulness. One place, and I want to pull it out of Exodus chapter 9 and verse 8. This is an interesting place in your word. This is where Moses is going toward Pharaoh. He's needing help from God. And in the process, he's God speaking to him. And look what the Lord says. This is interesting. Then the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, take handfuls of soot or ashes from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. Now, in the natural, that's just kind of a dumb move. We're going to get some ashes and we're going to throw them up, you know, to God. But I want you to put it in context of the prophetic. Ashes are what's left from a fire. They're the leftovers from destruction. When you throw it to God, that's your worship. John, I'm kind of preaching your song right now. And I got to make up my mind that I'm going to give God whatever it is I've got left. I'm going to give it to Him in a praise. So He said, if you'll get those ashes of everything that's been burned, everything that's lost, you'll get those ashes and you'll throw them to me in praise. I can do something with them. And your Bible says when He threw those up, that was a type of praise. It's us making up our mind that I don't have much left, but I'm going to thank God for what I've got left. I don't have a lot left, but I'm going to praise Him every day with what I have left. I'm going to make it His. If He can use it, then I'm giving it to Him. I will throw the ashes up to Him. And the Word of God said He threw up two hands full of ashes and God touched it supernaturally and it covered a whole nation. That brought, it brought a plague on his enemy. Maybe y'all can track with me on this. That if I just took what was left and said, I'm not going to quit praising God. I'm going to praise God. I don't have a lot, but I'm praising with what I have. There was a woman that had very little money. You remember her? She had very little money, but she took it and she gave it. And Jesus said she gave more than anybody here because she gave out of her need. In other words, she took from her loss and said, whatever's left, I'm giving to the Lord. We just throw it to Him. So I'm saying right now, you need to use what you've got left to praise Him. Amen? Just make up your mind you're going to praise Him. I've just kind of made it my mind. That the older I get, the more I want to praise Him. I don't want to quit praising Him because I get older. If I want to do anything, I want to be an example of someone else that you can praise God, that you can lift your hands, that you can lift your voice, that you can clap your hand, that you can jump before the Lord, that you can praise Him, that you can lay on your face. I won't do that right now, but you can praise Him, just giving Him everything. Amen? Amen? Let me give you one more. This is number four. What's left will lead us to victory. What's left will lead us to victory. One of the great stories in the Bible to me is in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and it's about David when he was at Ziklag, and the Word of God says that the Amalekites came in while he was gone and the army was gone and took all the women and they took everything from them, they robbed them, left nothing, and they burned their city, and then they came in. So axiom four is what's left will lead us to victory. In this chapter, verse 13, David is out. He didn't know where to go. He just said, God, do I chase them? And God said, yeah. And he took off after them with his men. And they, here's what the Bible says happened. David asked him, he ran into a guy on the trail. This kid is an Egyptian who was a servant of the Amalekites that just took all of David's stuff. So that's the story. David said to him, who do you belong to? Where do you come from? And he said, I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. My master left me, some translations say. I'm what's left. What's left can lead you to victory. Because David spoke to him and said, would you consider telling me which way they went? He said, oh, dude, they left me. When I got sick, they left me. I'll gladly lead you to them as long as you don't hurt me. And David said, no, you're good. So here's all I'm telling you. The Amalekites said, he's not worth anything. We'll leave him. David found what was left, and God led him to victory with what was left. Here's what I've made up my mind about. I've got victory in front of me because I got something left. I've got something left, and so do you. You still have something left. You've got some hope, some faith. You've got some joy in you. You've got something that you can give to God. What's left will lead you to victory, and I love that thought. Here's the fifth one. We're getting ready to close on this one, but here's the fifth axiom. What's left will produce more than enough. Say, what's left will produce more than enough. At some point in your life, you're going to have to look at what you have and don't have and come down to what's left and just believe that God can use my what's left. There's a couple of stories that I would give you, and two of them come from Elijah and Elisha. They both deal with women, and they both deal with lack. And one of them is in 1 Samuel 18, and it's Elijah. You'll remember this story. He came to Zarephath. There was a widow there, a woman, and she had a son. And he came to her, and he said, how you doing? She said, I'm broke. I'm busted. All I got is left, a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. We're going to make a biscuit, and my son and I are going to die. And Elijah said, if you'll just take what you got left and give it to the Lord, talking about himself, give it to me as a man of God, if you'll just make me a biscuit to eat, then God will supply. If you read that whole story in 1 Kings 18, it says that woman took what she had left and she made a biscuit for him, made some bread for him out of the oil and out of the flour, and put it together, cooked it for him. And your Bible says this, from that day forward until the rains came. They were in the middle of a drought until the rains came. They didn't have anything left, but until the rains came. Every time she opened up that bin of flour, there was flour in it enough. Every time she poured the oil, there was oil in there. And the Word of God said, for those months, from the time of the drought until the rains came, everything was taken care of. Let me just help you right now. If you will understand what's left is enough that God can bring it on you until the rains come. He can bring the victory to you. He can bring the supply to you. Elisha was your other one. And in 2 Kings, Elisha comes up to a widow. And she was in trouble. And she said, they're coming to take everything I own. They're going to take my child and put him in bondage because I don't have any money to pay. And he says, what do you have? And she said, all I've got left is a cruse of oil. And he said, let's pray over that and let God use it. And you go start collecting jars because God's going to use what's left. Say what God would say, what's left will produce more than enough. One other little story about that. How many of y'all remember in Mark chapter 6, whenever Jesus is teaching the 5,000 and they're hungry, and he looked at Philip, said, Philip, we need to feed these people. Philip looked at him and said, Lord, a year's salary would only buy one bite for each person here. So Jesus said, what do you have? He said, well, all that's left is this kid's meal, 5 fish, 2 loaves of bread, that's it. Or 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is all we got left. Do you remember the story? Jesus said, we can use what's left. He broke it and fed everybody there. And there were 12 baskets left to put in each one of those disciples' hands to say, I told you that I can do the supernatural. I can make more than enough out of what's left. Does that make sense to you? So let me run back through these real quick and then we're going to close. God is a God of what you have. He's a God of what you've lost. And He's a God of what you've got left. God will use what's left to fulfill His purpose in your life. Your purpose isn't lost. The third thing is, what's left was painful, but what's left is powerful. What I lost was painful. What's left is powerful. Here's your fourth one. What's left will lead me to victory. It may not be much, but I'm giving it to Him. It'll lead me to victory. The fifth one was, what's left will produce more than enough. Does that make sense to y'all? It's what's left. God is a God of what's left. I want to close on this. I'm going to ask you to stand with me because you're going to help me on this one. There's a verse I want you to look at. It's Job 8:7. Job 8:7. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. I want you to hear this. I want you to get it. Go back. Though your beginning was small, let's go. Is this the first one? Yes. Let's read it. Let's read it out loud. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. Let's look at it another way. This is Job. Remember, Job lost everything. Lost kids, lost money, lost everything. Let's go to the, this is the New Living Translation. Out loud, let's do it. And though you started with little, you will end with much. How many of you know you may be starting with little this year? I've just made up my mind that God's able to do something. Look at the next translation. The ESV. Let's read it out loud. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. I want you to look at one more. This is out of the NIV. Another translation, same verse. Let's say it out loud. Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. Your beginnings seem humble, but how prosperous will your future be? So I've got an altar call today. And the altar call is really dealing with loss. Maybe it's loss of health, loss of money, loss of, I don't know. Maybe you think you've lost the ability to fulfill God's purpose in your life. You thought you were going to do one thing, and now you've lost so many connections to it that you're not going to fulfill this. I'm just saying that God is the God of what you have. He's a God of what you've lost. He's a God of what is left. He knows what was lost, and what was lost will not stop Him from fulfilling His purpose in your life. I don't know where this fits on you, but maybe you're one of those that said, man, I have lost, and I get to looking at that and I've lost a lot. But God is the God of what I've got left. And I'm willing to give Him what I've got left. Whether that's physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, family. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. You've gone through children that are wrecked. And you're ending up in here today thinking, man, I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I've lost so much. But I'm making up my mind today, y'all, that He's the God of what I've got left. And I'm going to buy into this. He's the God of what I lost. He knows what's gone. And He didn't quit being God because of it. He didn't get off the throne. He didn't abdicate. He didn't quit. What I've got to make up my mind about is if I've got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, I'm going to use it. If I've got a little bit of praise, I'm going to use it. If I've got a little bit of hope, I'm going to use it. If I've got a little bit of faith, I'm going to put it before the Lord. So if you're one today that say, you know, Mike, I've lost some stuff. I've, you know, my health has been attacked, finances attacked, family attacked. I've been under the gun. But sometimes I feel like I don't have very much left. But this morning, the Lord's speaking to you and saying, I'm the God of what's left. I'll give you victory from what's left. I'll give you strength from what's left. I'll give you supply from what's left. I'll lead you from what's left. I'll fulfill my purpose with what's left. If that's you and you just want prayer today, instead of us laying hands on you, I'm just going to ask you to come and stand, and then we're going to be sung over. We're going to let the praise team sing over us today, and that's how we're going to close this. So if you're here to say, man, I've got some loss, but God's the God of what I've got left, and I'm going to give it to Him today, then I want you to find a place up front. Just come and stand. Get yourself by yourself if you need to, with your family. I don't know how that's going to look. But today is my day to make up my mind about what's left. What's left is powerful. What's left is powerful. What's left will fulfill the purpose that God has called me to have. What I lost, Mike, was so painful, but what I've got left is powerful. God can use it.